I now call to order the Paradise Town Advisory Board meeting for Tuesday, August the 13th. Would you all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
During the meeting, if you can all please shut off any cell phones, pagers, tablets, anything that you're going to have that could disrupt the meeting. If you need to have a discussion with your neighbor, we please ask that you step out into the lobby to do so, so the noise does not disturb our attendees. When we call your item up, we ask you please come to the podium, take the microphone and use that. I know a lot of people have strong voices, but we are recording and it does help to use the microphone. We also have a system to be able to display your items onto the screen, or if you have presentation boards, an easel, to make it easier for you to discuss. Can we please show that all members are in attendance with the exception of John Williams, who's excused? And county staff introductions, who do we have from planning today?
Roxy Fikes.
And?
Welcome back to Park County Commissioner Gibson's office.
Okay, thank you. During the meeting, there is a public comment period. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Is there anyone in the public like to speak before we get started? Seeing no one, I will close it to the public. I get an approval of the minutes for July 30th, 2024.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from July 30th, 2024.
We have a motion on the floor to approve the minutes of July 30th, 2024. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And approval of the agenda for this evening, August 13th, 2024.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to approve the agenda for August 13th, 2024 as written with no changes.
We have a motion on the floor to approve the agenda for this evening, August 13th, 2024. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any informational items, Blanca?
No.
Very good. We'll move into planning and zoning. Item number one, ET 24400072, WS220199, Fluitt, Robert. Waivers of development standards, second extension of time for the following: one, reduced setbacks, and two, reduced building separation in conjunction with an existing single family residence on 0.2 acres in an RS5.2 residential single family 5.2 zone, generally located on the west side of Horizon Street, 85 feet north of Wingrove Avenue and 450 feet south of Desert Inn Road within Paradise. We have our applicant. Come use the microphone, please, and give us your name and address for the record.
My name is Robert Fluitt, and my address is 3383 Horizon Street. Robert Fluitt.
Here you go.
3383 Horizon Street, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89121.
And tell us what you'd like to do.
I'm trying to get more time to pull permits from my residential property, because I hired a contractor to come pull it. I paid him $10,450 to start the work, and he just disappeared with all the money that I gave him. So I tried to call him several times, text him. I had CG Garcia, the company, try to get a hold of him who hired him. They weren't unable to get a hold of him too. And then all of a sudden, I noticed his phone was disconnected.
Okay.
so I was not able to get that done. So now I'm trying to get more time so I get another contractor to finish the project to get it done.
Okay. Is there anyone in the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, we'll close it to the public, open it to the board.
So this is your second extension of time. What happened with the first?
Yeah, so the first one, I don't remember. So this is the second extension because the first one we had a contractor come to get it done on the first round. So because he took off, we had to extend on the second time around on this one, try to get another contractor to finish it.
So you're on contractor number two or three?
No, this is the second one.
Do you believe you would be able to complete the project within a year?
I'm not sure because I'm the only one that's working in my house, so I'm doing paycheck to paycheck. So if we get more time on that, it would be grateful because I'm also taking care of my mom and my brother, who's actually disabled, who's unable to work. My mom is retired and living off Social Security, so I'm trying to do what I can to raise enough money to get a contract to go off payments right now.
Just so you're aware, staff is recommending a denial of this second extension. And I don't have a strong opinion of needing to deny it, but I also am not sure about how much more time we can give you than the year. Anyone else's opinion on that is?
It's a difficult one because being the second extension, I mean, a couple of years have gone by already. And I can see where if you lost your contractor and you lost your money essentially to do the project with them, it's going to take some time to regroup. But we can't have an open-ended time to regroup. Roxy, if he is denied, will he have to go take down what's ever already up because the work started without a permit, and then you had to go get plans and a permit?
Correct.
Okay. So.
And I've already submitted the paperwork to the contractor board for the contractor that didn't finish the job that took the money, so I can recoup the money and get it to another contractor.
So would he be required to tear it all down, whatever's done?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what percentage do you have done right now? Like, what, any part of it? Did you complete any part of it?
He didn't start anything. Since I gave him the money, he just took off.
Okay.
But you started
The project was done by a contractor that didn't pull permits, so when my other roommate, I guess he found out that it wasn't permitted, he went and turned me into the city because I kicked him out for not paying rent. And then I decided I wanted to do it the right way, so I got the CG Garcia to give me a contractor in order to do it the right way to pull the permit. But when he took off, it didn't help me.
Okay, so what's the total value of the project? What do you need to recoup in order to get it finished?
Well, the one contract says $66,000, but this contract that took off stated $32,000, so it's kind of hard to scale it at this time.
And you don't have a contractor right now, you just have one bid.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get, if I get an extension, I'm going to get CG Garcia to help me get the other contractor to complete it.
And what's the purpose of the extension? What are you going to do in it?
To recoup the money from the board.
No, what are you going to use the extension to the house for?
Oh, to get the contract to pull the permits for the house.
No, and then physically.
Are
you going to use it for an actual, for storage, for your mom to live in? What are you using it for?
It's like we're trying to get an enclosed patio on that side, on both sides, so that way because it's so hot and my mom likes to go outside, she gets to sit on the patio where it's enclosed area.
Okay. You have any more thoughts, Scott?
Like you said, this is a hard one. You said that it's an enclosed patio? So how much you started, how much of that is done? Do you have pictures?
Well, it's hard to see from here. Actually, it's all enclosed, but I want the condo to change to an enclosed patio, so that way it's a lot easier. Pictures are over here. What was built.
Okay. Staff is recommending that if we let you go forward, to give you a year to finish. What I'd like to see is give you 6 months to come back here and show us you found a contractor and applied for a permit. Not that you finished everything, but you at least have a contractor and have a permit to go forward. Because if you can't get that done in 6 months, you're not going to get it done in a year. How does everyone feel about that?
I would make a motion.
Okay. I'm going to make a motion to approve this item subject to the if approved staff conditions with a change of until... what's 6 months?
Six months
from today to bring back a building permit and a hired contractor before we allow you to move forward with completion of the project. Make sense? Secretary?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. So that's just our recommendation. You're going to go to the Planning Commission on August the 6th. They will know what we're suggesting that you do in order to try to get moving forward. Okay?
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 2, WS240292, Caro Christian, waivered belt and standards to increase the wall height in conjunction with an existing single-family residence on 0.27 acres and an RS5.2 residential single-family 5.2 zone within the historic neighborhood overlay, generally located on the east side of Spencer Street, approximately 125 feet south of Ottawa Drive within Paradise. Can you use the microphone, please?
Hello, my name is Christian Cairo. I live at 3702 Spencer Street, 89119. And I'm seeking a waiver of development standards to increase the wall height around my property.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close to the public. Open it to the board. Do you have some pictures?
I do have some pictures. I printed them out, but...
You want
to... Yeah.
So this is the wall height. It's about 4 feet that goes all around my property. So it's not the most secure, and our neighborhood is up and coming. So there's still a lot of individuals in the neighborhood, especially the park that's across the street, that, you know, I would prefer a much secure property. And two, there's a big privacy issue. The majority of my bedrooms and bathrooms are on one side of the house, and it's this side which faces the backyard of my neighbor. So from my neighbor's kitchen and from their living room, they have direct sight into my bathroom and into my bedrooms. So it doesn't offer the most privacy. So what I'd like to do is increase that wall height. And the reason specifically for 7 feet is I think it would aesthetically match more of the neighborhood. My neighbor just had her wall increased in height to 7 feet. So I think it would look nice if there was continuity in the neighborhood. And I'd like to do something like this, where it's aluminum fencing, keeping within the modern look. Since our neighborhood is kind of like this mid-century modern style. My house in particularly doesn't have that historical angles and look, but I think something like this, something fresh, something modern, would add to the neighborhood, still fit within that theme. That's it.
Well, it looks like you started some work already.
Yes, this wall right here, I actually did build it up.
And then
they cited me for not having a permit, so I tore it down. And in order to build it up with actual brick, it may be cost prohibitive because I'd have to put in new footings, new columns. So I spoke with the structural engineer and they said it would be pricey. Not only for their design, but to actually have it constructed.
Do you have a letter or anything from your neighbor saying that they would object to that in their backyard? Would not being a solid wall, just the decorative that you're seeing might be attractive to you, but not to them. So
right.
Did you speak to your neighbor?
They just moved in because the neighbor that was there before. So the house, the wall is actually on my property. It's not a dividing wall. This wall was actually built along with my property. It's the same wall. It goes all the way around. Many of the other neighbors have different walls.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with the material that you want to use. I think it'll go fine. I think as long as you can get your permit into place and do everything you're supposed to, you might have just turned your neighbor in for not having a permit, because I don't remember us approving a 7.
No, it was. I came in.
Oh, you came in?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we've had like 3 Paradise Palm wall applications this year, so
yeah, there's
I'm trying to remember which one it was.
There's a lot of renovation there.
All right. Well, if no one else has any questions or comments, I'll make a motion to approve this item subject to preliminary staff conditions, which gives you 1 year to complete the process. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay,
you go on to planning on August the 20th.
Do I need to sign anything over there?
No.
No. Yep.
Item number 3, ET244-00082, UC210636, Apex Las Vegas LLC. Use permit, second extension of time for a multi-family residential development. Waivers of development standards for the following: 1, reduced parking, 2, non-standard landscaping, and 3, alternative standards for perimeter fence. Design review for a conversion of a motel to a multi-family residential development on 5.2 acres in the CR Commercial Resort Zone at the Airport Environs AE60 and the Maryland Parkway Overlays, generally located on the south side of Twain Avenue and the west side of Cambridge Street within Paradise. Your name and address, please.
Hello. I think I just turned it off. Hello?
Hello.
This one?
Yeah.
My name is Ken Small with SSM Architecture, 740 Green Street Service. I'm the architect on this project. Just to review sort of where this all came from, there was a notice of final action in 2022, October, and it was to change the use of this project from a motel to multi-family residential development. According to the records that we got from Clark County Building Department, this was originally constructed as a multifamily residential development. And then later it was changed to hotel use. And then this property owner attempted to change back. And so we were hired approximately September 2023 to file an entitlement case, which didn't turn out to be what we were actually supposed to do. This client is primarily from California, and they don't understand how the local system works. We began creating the documents that we normally submit for an entitlement case, and we approached Clark County Planning and Zoning. And you can see the correspondence, which is the first thing is the NFA, and then the second thing is the conclusion of four pages of correspondence, which concludes in us being told that there's no deadline. Everything had been taken care of. And so we took them at their word. This has been redacted. You can understand. I don't want to point the finger at the staff for attempting to help us, but nevertheless, that was information that was imparted. And then, so we began by doing what it appeared was required by the original NFA. The original NFA is a little bit vague about what it is we have to do. There's some words in there about we may have to put the building department to do something. What we did is we submitted a set of architectural documents that showed the entire existing facility. And that was submitted to the building department, and they accepted it. This is on two assessor's parcels, but they accepted it as one, and after looking at it for a little while, they required us to submit some additional information. And now, I'm sorry, I'm going back and forth through this document that I'm giving you, but if you look at the last page, which is my most recent, they've asked us to look at the 2018 International Existing Building Code and submit on that. I'm calling it an upgrade code. I'm sure the building department has some other better descriptive term for it. But in essence, we have an old building here that has a lot of unknowns in it. And I have had in my hands the original construction documents or the images that the building department had. And if you want to know where a sewer line is or a power line is or something like that, the information just simply does not exist. And so we had sewer camera people come out and probe the sewer lines to look for where the sewer lines and things like that were. So this first set of construction documents, you see it's labeled at the top, submitted October 26, 2023. That was the submission to the building department. And at that time, we thought that submission would have been enough. But after we submitted it, they came back and asked us to comply with this other code. And so drawing everything for that code is I won't say impossible, but much more difficult than what I originally think it was. And so we made another submission for a trash enclosure. The client did construct the trash enclosures without permits. Again, they thought that they had been directed to do that in the entitlement process, and so they should go ahead and do it. But obviously that was incorrect. They should have pulled permits for it. So we submitted drawings, and the original drawings were returned to us as unacceptable because we drew these as dumpster enclosures. So they handed back to us and said, draw them as walls, not dumpster enclosures. and then that is in the building permitting process. Then we submitted the next set that she'll look at. That has a submission date of May 15th, 2024. And this also adds a meter enclosure. And I don't know if you've been aware of this project extensively, but there are security problems there. And a lot of the problems were lack of maintenance from the previous property owners. So it turned out that when our electrical engineer and the property owners got to look at it, even though it's not required by the code that we're directed at, the property owners wanted to build a wall and an enclosure to protect the meters. I'm sure everyone in Las Vegas is aware of the problem with people taking electric wire out of the services. So that's the purpose of adding that to the work scope. And this was submitted also. So it too is in place. I mean, the plans are in place. The next one, there's another one following that that looks almost the same. That's the same date, but you'll notice that that one shows only the east side of the site, and the first one shows the west side of the site. So even though the building department was willing to accept the two buildings together as one submission, the dumpster enclosures, they want us to divide that. So we divided it recently. So now we come to our support letter for requesting the extension time. These are all the things that have been done. So work is underway, workmen have been out there, but the county is not issuing any building permits because the NFA expired. So it's sitting on the building. We also have another set of construction documents that have been filed for fences and gates that were drawn in. It's ready to file, but the county is not going to entertain, the building department's not going to entertain any of that until we get this through. So we're now, you know, everybody wants to do it, but it just didn't turn out that way. And you know, I feel bad for the person at the beginning who gave us the wrong information, but we are where we are, and the client hasn't given any indication at all of being unwilling to proceed on this work. As a matter of fact, they call me every Monday and ask me, you know, what's going on with them. And so now I've actually, as of just the end of last month, we're making a new recommendation, and this project has had the attorneys involved, and the county attorney and the attorney for the property owner speaking. We've recommended that they take a little bit different approach if they're willing to, and I don't want to say that you're going to support this today. This isn't what you're voting on, but I just think you're aware of. There's a path forward here, and that is if I in my house had a broken water heater or needed to replace the central air or something like that, then it would be considered perfectly legitimate for me to hire a licensed workman who would go down to the building department and he would pull a proper permit for that. Instead of this request for the comprehensive redrawing of all the mechanical and electrical systems in the building, we're now asking through another avenue that it be permitted that the property owner take one unit and hire a plumber, hire an electrician, or whoever is appropriate for the work that needs to be done in the unit, and then have that corrected, and then that would be available to move a tenant into as a quote rehab unit, and then they could move on to the next one. Because trying to just swallow all elephant at once isn't really a practical solution. And not everything is built the same. So if you ask me to draw a new apartment complex, I would draw, you know, a typical unit and say, oh yeah, this is all, the sewer vent is between the kitchen and the bathroom every time. That will not be the case in this property because we're in 1975. And so what they're going to have to do if they need to reach a sewer vent is they're going to have to open up the wall and find it, or they find it. And then, of course, you know, it should go without saying, but I'll say it anyway. They're going to call for inspectors to come inspect and see that they're properly connected to whatever it is, the electric panel or the sewer vent. So with that, I think there's relative assurance that we can move forward on what's already sitting at the building permit department right now. As soon as we get the NFA on it, and then the next thing would be that there's a path forward available to begin fixing the units one at a time to the satisfaction of everybody involved. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close to the public, open it to the board.
Well, the main question is, do you think going until October 18, 2025 would be enough time for this process, or are you going to need further time than that?
So, I've got a crystal ball in my office, and it doesn't work.
I know.
seriously, it's possible.
That's a 30% chance that that'll work, then we would perhaps offer more time. Or if you're like, no, that I'm like 90% confident that should be fine, then we'll just move forward with that. And then when you get to there, we get to there. But
so what I can give you is if the path forward that I just offered is chosen, then yes.
Okay.
Yes. If not.
But there's no guarantee on that path forward.
Right.
There's nothing guaranteed in construction, especially when it's built in the 70s. Mm-hmm. But we just need, if you were sitting there like, no shot, this life or the next, then we would discuss further time. But if you're like, there is a shot, we stick with the timing.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I have a quick question. In your letter dated on 7/31, it says you have tenants living there. Is there tenants actually there? So he's collecting revenue on this.
There were some tenants there, as I understand. They're in the process of being offered alternative location in another apartment complex.
But they've been there since they've been there up until this point, like from the first extension back in 22.
There are some tenants there. There are some units that are operational. It's just that, not to weigh too much into the weeds, but without having the ability to pull permits for anything, if someone is in a unit and the water heater goes bad, and then what are you going to do? So they're in the catch-22 situation. I realize the tenants aren't happy over that, but likewise, the landlord would like to have the rent for all the units. So that's the mutual consent of the landlord and tenant.
I've never picked up a set of as-builts and found that the stuff is where it says. Anybody in development who has done remodels knows it's not gonna happen. It sounds like you just got in a convoluted mess that also seems to tie in with the problems with the county with lack of staff to review plans and bringing in people who are new. And I've been dealing with that for 2 years. So I had the same thought as Caitlin, that 2 years might be better than a year, just because of knowing the building permit process. I have yet to get a permit for anything, and I just do little tenant improvements in less than 2 months. So, you know, you have a pretty big project here, and I don't see there's any way you could get it done in a year.
I would love to go back to the client and tell them that we have to do this. I really would.
You want to make a motion?
Madam Chair, if there's no more comments or concerns from the board, I make a motion to approve subject to staff plan and if approved conditions with the change from October 18, 2025 to the October 18, 2026 to complete the building permit and inspection process.
We have a motion on the floor for approval subject to preliminary staff conditions with a 2-year completion date. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So you go on to planning on September 3rd, and hopefully they agree with us.
Thank you so much.
You want to go back?
No, it's okay.
All right, let's move on. Item number 4, UC240345. 4770 Nebso LLC, a use permit for a vehicle paint body shop on 3.32 acres and a CG commercial general zone, generally located on the north side of Nebso Drive and 430 feet west of Cameron Street within Paradise. Is our applicant here? Would you come forward, please? Give us your name and address.
Excuse me. You might want to check to see if that's. I couldn't hear your name at all. I'm sorry.
Hello?
There you go.
First time I just said.
Okay, you'll be fine.
304 East Cigar and Ridge Boulevard. Los Angeles, America. 89. Wow. 89. I don't know what to say.
You're asking for a use permit?
Yeah, this is the permit. I have that business for 4 years, so I tried to add one more unit, which is BAG, and I went to college and they said there's a new policy. So I followed the application and everything, so if you can try a zoning approval and a temporary license, you can see.
Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing no one, I'll close to the public, open it to the board.
If nobody has any,
yeah.
I make a motion with staff conditions to approve.
We have a motion on the floor to approve this item subject to preliminary staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Go on to Planning Commission on September the 3rd.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Item number 5, WS240346, Rosas, Jonathan Jesus Gonzalez, and Chape Erna, waivers of development standards for the following: 1, increased height; 2, reduced setbacks for an existing accessory structure in conjunction with an existing single-family residence on 0.32 acres and an RS10 residential single-family 10 zone within the airport's environs, AE60 overlay, generally located on the west side of Palm Desert Way, 100 feet south of Shadow Ridge Avenue within Paradise. Is our applicant here? Your name and address.
My name is Renato Fernandez, and I live at 3089 Palm Desert Way, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89120.
And
I'm here today because I have a flying trapeze rig in my backyard. I'm a sixth generation circus performer. I build hundreds of flying trapeze, indoor, outdoor, over concrete, over sand, and in my backyard. I'm trying to get, it's my first time ever going through these kinds of permits, so I'm trying to just be pointed in the right direction as I've gone through comprehensive planning and the whole city, and it's their first flying trapeze, so it's kind of hard to get what I'm looking for, and it's just temporary. It's a temporary structure. I know it's kind of high. To me, it's like a regular father building a swing for their daughter. That's what I build my flying trapeze for my daughters. I myself broken road records. My youngest daughter broke a road record in my backyard. This November, I'm set to make history in Las Vegas by hosting the first international circus festival of Las Vegas, bringing in over 50 performers from 15 countries in Las Vegas. So the flying trapeze in my backyard is just a piece of the pie that I can maintain flying, coaching my daughters. I have a lot of people from the community. I work with a lot of nonprofit organizations, and I'm here just to fix that problem.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item?
Yeah.
If you would come forward and give us your name and address.
Of course. Hi. Sorry. Hi, hello.
Your name and address, please.
Hi, my name is Christine. I live at 3083 Haynes and Hills Avenue. I'm actually one of your neighbors. And I think the few of us are here. So, we all live in an old, mature Las Vegas residential property. It's not too far from here. Large, mature homes, and sorry, my public speaker.
That's okay.
So, we all put a lot of pride into our homes, and you've seen some almost gentrification of the neighborhoods where we come in and take an old, dilapidated home with big lots and just turn them into these beautiful properties. 2 years ago, one of our neighbors erected a monstrous trapeze. It is attached by shared walls. They can see into our yards. They have events there, lots of parties. You see small children at these events. There's a business running out of it. But to clean this up, I did write something, so I'll just read from that if that's better. So I'm here to formally express my strong opposition to the trapeze installation at 3089 Palm Desert. The structure has been in place for almost 2 years. It's a clear violation of local code enforcement. Personally, I find it kind of offensive that I'm here because 2 years ago it was established that it was against codes. Code enforcement has been fighting with them for 2 years to take it down, and here we are 2 years later standing in front of you again trying to fight for the right thing to be done, which I thought was already established by local laws and codes. The trapeze is mounted on shared walls. It extends over his roof, seeing into neighboring properties, creating significant safety hazards, not only for the people on it, because it cuts over part of his roof, but also the shared walls. If somebody falls off of it, if you know somebody were to hit any of these neighbors' walls, it creates safety hazards for us also. The integrity of these shared walls is compromised by the installation, putting nearby residents at risk. Additionally, the presence of the trapeze over parts of the roof exacerbates our safety concerns. There have been numerous instances of events, large groups at this residence, where the trapeze has been used by adults and small children. This usage not only heightens the risk of accidents, but it also contributes to the general disorderliness of the neighborhood. It raises concerns of safety because we don't know how it was secured to these shared walls. Furthermore, the trapeze installation significantly impinges on the privacy of our yards. You can see right into our yards from the top of this trapeze, not to mention, just not feeling comfortable in your own home. One of the issues is that the current resident already has established a disregard for upkeep of the front of his property. So, you know, had it probably been maintained or approached in a different manner or erected in a different manner, it might have been possible on properties like ours, which are large, but I also know that it goes over a pool. So it's not a place for a trapeze in a backyard, especially of that size. And he might say that it's a temporary structure, but it's been there again for 2 years. He's saying hosting events of people coming from all over the world. I have no belief that there's any intention of that thing going anywhere, especially having seen code enforcement put like abatement notices on his house, and he just completely has disregarded all of it. Given all of these concerns, I respectfully request you to deny this request.
Thank you.
Sorry.
You're doing good. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak? Your name and address, please.
Hello, my name is John Hunter, and I live at 3277 Palm Desert Way, Las Vegas, Nevada. And from my understanding, this meeting is just a waiver for the trapeze to be allowed to remain in a certain parameters of an existing wall. My question is here is, why is the trapeze already in order and working in somebody's backyard? But the trapeze is almost 3 feet tall, or three stories tall. The property is being run by a business called Mr. Trapeze Academy. Anybody can book a date online, and I have proof of that. I understand how they can operate a business like this in a residential area. Basically, I just hope that you vote to reject any variance and the structure be permanently removed and the owner is fined for violation of working, doing a business without a license.
Thank you. Anyone else who'd like to speak? Seeing no one, I'll close to the public. Open to the board. Did you want to say anything in response to their comment?
Please, can I?
Yep.
I completely understand the privacy of everybody, of the neighbors. Like I said, he just commented to me, I was born and raised in the circus, never had an accident, broke numerous records, built hundreds of this. So I completely understand the privacy. The events, yes, there's gatherings at the house. I have my daughters, we have waivers. I built the world's first certification flying trapeze program. I worked for Cirque du Soleil for 6 years. So you don't have to oppose. I will take it down myself, okay, in respect to Las Vegas, to my neighbors, to everybody. It's not a problem at all, okay? I'll take it down myself, and it won't be up again. It has been up for 2 years, and I have been going to the city to comprehensive planning and all of that, trying to figure out what can I do to make it right. You know, I've been getting the letters and things in my wall. It's the first time they got a flying trapeze and did comprehensive planning. And I tried my best, not for me, but for my daughters and the future flying trapeze. Like I said, I work with many nonprofit organizations. This event will be happening in a tent in nobody's backyard, by the way, in a tent that I'm bringing from California. I work with the burn survivors of Las Vegas, where I donated 100 tickets to them, the autism present. So once again, I apologize to all my neighbors and everybody who was affected by my flying trapeze in my backyard, and you guys have nothing to worry about, it'll be down.
Okay, so are you requesting to withdraw this application because you're going to take it down?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Do we make a motion to help Sini House? How long will it take you to remove it? How long to dismantle that? Because I drove by and it's big.
Yeah, it's big. It's gigantic. Supposed to be bigger. It's only just an hour.
So, and I understand why you have it, but how long will it take for you to dismantle it?
Well, I need a little bit of help because I'm a single dad. It's just me and my daughters right now, so I have to get a group of a few strong guys together. So if you guys give me 30 days, I'd really appreciate it.
So, do I make them?
So, how does this work?
So, yes, I know.
This is new.
I would say no motion, and then we'll just put no motion. Applicants
withdrawing.
Withdrawing application. And then if you can just write a letter to your planner and ask for a withdrawal from your application.
Okay, so we'll let the record show the applicant is withdrawing the application and no action will be taken.
And do we note that he said it would take about 30 days? Do we note that? Do we note anything about the 30 days that he says that he can have it down? So, because they've had code enforcement out there for 2 years and he's ignored that kind of, so do we note the 30 days to make him?
We can go ahead and just add it in the minutes.
Okay.
To the applicant,
I would prefer that. Sorry.
don't be pleased, but look forward to the first International Circus Festival. Let's see.
Thank you very much. Okay, item number 6, WS240366, Venetian Venue, Propco LLC, waiver of development standards to exceed the maximum permissible sound levels in conjunction with an existing recreational facility, fairground, and music venue, a Sphere Las Vegas, on 18.51 acres in the CR Commercial Resort Zone, generally located on the south side of Sands Avenue and the east side of Koval Lane within Paradise.
Good evening, everyone. David Brown, 520 South 4th Street, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89101, on behalf of the applicant. With me also representing the applicant is Rich Constable, who's the Executive Vice President, as well as Zach Ivins, who's the Director of Audio for the Sphere. We represent the Sphere. We're happy to start that we're here with staff's recommendation for approval. This is actually not staff's first time recommending approval for this use. This is the second. They previously granted approval for the use. However, there were delays after COVID for building it. The Sphere opened a little late, and as you know, the Sphere hasn't been open quite 1 year yet. It is now approaching the 1 year, and because they didn't use this within that 2 year frame, we're back here in front of you today. I know, you can see with the last item, I think there are a lot of neighbors. There are a lot of the neighbors that have significant concerns about what this means. First, on behalf of the Sphere, I'd like to start with apologizing. We've met with representatives for the HOA, we've met with their attorney Ed Garcia, board members, everything else. Around the 4th of July, the Sphere ran a test and they ran a lab test. They didn't give the HOA or the neighbors any notice that they were going to do that test, but they ran it at a much higher level than they ever intended to do. They have put systems in place. They will not do that again. They apologize to everyone for it, but it happened, and we just want to let you know we're aware of that when you hear their concerns. Since that time, again, Mr. Ivins, the sound engineer, he has gone to the Park Towers, which I believe is where most of these people are from, and he's been there twice a day testing the sound to make sure they get it right. Their intent is to get it right. They want to be good neighbors. This is part of the Venetian Resort. They're in the hotel corridor, and they really want to make sure they get it right. Bear with me. As you know, the Sphere is one of the most recognizable parts of Las Vegas. It's an amazing attraction. People from all over the world come just to see the exterior. They have concerts, they have drafts, they are going to have a UFC fight, they have all types of events. It's a huge draw to Las Vegas. We understand that there are people that don't like the possibility of sound. However, we would like to point out a few things. Park Towers is actually built in the commercial resort zoning. It is not a residential district. So I understand that this is a little bit louder than you might expect in your neighborhood, but this is not a residential district where Park Towers is. I'd also point out that Park Towers isn't adjacent to the Sphere. There's actually about 700 feet of separation from the property lines to it. Lastly, I'd say again, staff got it right on this one, and they recommend a one-year review. I think with the one-year review, it gives us the opportunity to continue to make sure we're getting it right, continue to work with the neighbors to try to work an agreement. Despite whatever happens today, it is our intent to continue to work with Mr. Garcia, who I understand represents the HOA and is here today, and the rest of the neighbors to try to reach a compromise. However, we haven't been able to do so, and we need to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak on this item? Name and address, please.
Good evening. Ed Garcia, 9555 Hillwood, here on behalf of the Park Towers Homeowners Association. As Mr. Brown mentioned, we do have some concerns. We're standing here today in opposition to this waiver. You'll have the opportunity to hear from a couple of the homeowners who want to come out and voice their concerns in person. And although I represent the Homeowner Association collectively, they also felt it was important for them to come out and speak to you personally. There's a little couple points of clarification on what was stated. The previous waiver for which it was approved was actually this. There was an approval for a waiver for exceeding the noise standards. However, that noise standard was for indoor noise. So that noise had nothing to do with the current application. This current application, they're apples and oranges. This is for outdoor noise. And if you actually, and I'll go ahead and leave this and submit this for the record, but this was item in the current write-up. It says that it was talking about the prior approval. It says this is the potential noise. This was sought and approved for potential noise levels in conjunction with indoor music events. And if you go back to the actual, go back in time to the 2020 application for which they were referencing, it says, the Sphere, in addition, has stated no events or music will be conducted outside. So that was for a completely different application. So this hasn't been approved. This is the first time anything like this has been in front of you. So, you know, that staff made a reference to it, but simply didn't say that it was simply the exact same application coming in front of you. So there's also a couple other items I have to address before we turn it over to the homeowners. They haven't demonstrated to us that this won't adversely affect Park Towers. It's irrelevant that it's a residential, that we're not in a residential district. It's irrelevant how far away we are. This is why these standards are in place. The standards are very clear. If you're going to exceed them, you're going to ask for a waiver. So we appreciate the fact that they've sat down with us, had a conversation, we've been able to, you know, have some cordial conversations. The fact is there's just not been a meeting at the moment. And, you know, when we talk about how this would affect the Park Towers Homeowner Association, they've actually demonstrated the opposite. So, as Mr. Brown mentioned, appreciate that rightly or wrongly, on July 4th, they started testing the system. Well, actually, I can say wrongly.
There was no approval for it. They sought no approval from the county. They just started figuring out what they could get out of the system. And that's really a cause of why the reasons why, you know, we're here today, because otherwise I think we might have been able to get out in front of this. So, you know, for better or for worse, that gave us an indication of what we can expect and what we can expect when they have outdoor events. They're seeking to exceed that at any time, and really that's what we're here in front of you today. Now, I'm not a sound expert. They have their sound engineer. He's been there. We've got our own folks. They've gone into, I'm not going to tell you what 85, what 90 dBs mean. I don't know. You know, they'll say, oh, this is a blender. This is a car passing by. You know as well as I do, when you're sitting there in outside your house and a car is passing by, okay, it sounds like something, but you know it's going to end. You know it's going to end in a few seconds, even if it's a blender, if it's a car, if it's a siren, if it's an airplane. With this, it's music, it is constant, it is, you know, everything from the most soothing to techno pop, or whatever you want to call it. So with that, we don't have to surmise what the future might hold. We already know what we're going to be experiencing as we go forward. So with that, we respectfully request your denial of this application, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak? Come forward, give us your name and address for the record, please.
Is this thing on?
Yeah.
My name is Mike Watson. I live at 1Q Center Drive, Park Towers. I am a resident along with my wife. I'm also a board member on the board of directors at Park Towers. I received 14 emails today with the late notice that I was given that this was coming up. They ranged from kind of bewilderment to anger to outrage. Ed mentioned that this thing started on July the 3rd or 4th. It actually started on July the 3rd with no notice. The way we noticed is our windows were rattling. You could feel the floor moving. It was, if you've ever been to a Jefferson Airplane concert in the first row, something like that, it was along those lines. Then they began playing 24/7. On July the 4th, and it has played 24/7 on July the 4th. They have some, I think the county regulations are 75 decibels during the day, you probably hear much about decibels, and 65 decibels at night. The Spirit is looking for a variance for that, and we met with Rich Constable, and
Rich.
Had a cordial meeting. When we had that meeting, what I heard and what my fellow board members heard was they're seeking a variance for a handful of days. Now, I don't know what y'all think a handful is. To me, a handful would be no greater than five. So when they came back, we were trying to be reasonable because this year we understand it's a great thing for Las Vegas. But it's not a great thing for some of our homeowners, for a bunch of them. And I could read you some of the angry things, I won't bore you with it. We have not reached an agreement with them. We're concerned with the variances specifically. I do have papers here showing you how much greater the sound. The nighttime sound that's allowed by Clark County is 65 decibels. That goes from 10 p.m. at night until 9 a.m. in the morning, which is what they're playing now. They sought to have 90 decibels. And here's the mathematical formula that, if you want to have a look, it's kind of boring. It's 90 decibels is 351 times, it's a logarithmic scale. So 90 decibels is 351 times greater than 65 decibels. They've since come down and have said that they would be willing to keep it at 87 decibels. at night for these special events, of which they're now asking for 15. And we have not agreed to that. So that decibel level is 158 times the Clark County allowed 65 decibels. So we as a board and we as residents of Park Towers would like you to deny this application.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone James. Else who would like to speak?
Yes. Jane, one more, James.
Okay. I'm taking to the next one. You got one more.
Go for it.
Can you give me your name and address, please?
Yes. James K. One Home Center, also known as Park Towers. I have an absolutely spectacular view of the sphere. It's right up there. The light doesn't bother me. July 4th, they ambushed us. They turned on the music, full blast. At first, we couldn't figure out where it was coming from because we look out, there's no cars, there's no people, it's empty. They were blasting away with enormous amounts of sound in the air, doing nothing but wasting electricity and annoying their neighbors. It was horrible, and it's continued that way ever since. Now, if they were running a special event, and they had customers, and they had a reason to be putting all this music out there to entertain their customers. That is understandable. But there is no excuse to just blast away into the air 24/7 with loud noise, what they call music. And it's been very disturbing to me because it directly hits my ear. I have a huge glass wall, and the music, the noise comes, hits these walls and shakes the walls, primarily the low bass sound. It's like a rumble, and they play various tunes and tones for no purpose. I don't, maybe they call it music, all I call it is noise. And it's been unceasing ever since. It is so basically ruined the quiet, peaceful enjoyment of my home that I've had for the last 22 years.
Thank you. You could hand that to the secretary down there.
Sure. I've suffered enormous amounts of sleep deprivation because they're playing this all night long. And there's no purpose. They're not making any money. My understanding is what they're doing is they have done the equivalent of a clear channel billboard, not only with light, moving lights, but sound, audio. If they do this all over town, it's going to drive everybody crazy. I see no reason for it. There's no commercial reason, unless they're just getting paid to blast the sound into the air and to use it as some type of enormous billboard, which appears to be what they're doing. If they had people there, if they had a concert there, that could be understandable, but not what they're doing right now, and they totally ambushed us with it. Nobody told us, I was never notified in 22 years, that they planned to build this monstrosity and blast all the stories into the air.
Thank you for your time. Sir, once you've spoken, we okay. You can have your phone, but I can't let you speak again. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Seeing no one, I'll close to the public, open it to the board. Mr. Brown, would you like to make any comments to the...
Yes, I would like to make a few, and if it's okay with you, I'd like to allow the applicant to speak a little bit as well, just to explain. First, the last gentleman, there was the test on July 3rd, July 4th. That absolutely happened. It absolutely was loud. We understand their frustration. It hasn't happened since. It's not going to happen again. And in a minute, you're going to hear the safeguards in place, but that's never going to happen again. It has not been going on continuously since that day. In regards to Mr. Garcia in the first comments, the waiver is slightly different than before, but if you look at the staff report, it says clearly that the original approval included approval for an assortment of outdoor uses, including fairgrounds and live entertainment. In addition, if you look at the staff report, it also says that this is the same waiver that our neighbors to the north and to the west, also in the Las Vegas Strip corridor, have. We're not asking for something exclusive to the sphere, and I would submit that the sphere is much more of an entertainment venue designed to be that way than the Wynn Hotel or anything else in that area. That's the real purpose of it. I'm now going to allow someone to speak regarding the sound, and if you have any questions, of course, we're going to be happy to answer. And again, I just want to echo at the end of this, we intend to come back here 1 year. We're not asking for a waiver of the 1 year review. We know that we have 1 year to show that we're a good neighbor, and that if we're not, there's going to be a different kind of meeting here in 1 year.
Hello, I'm Zach Evans, Director of Audio Sphere, 255 Sands Avenue, Las Vegas, 8969. I just want to echo that we did do the testing on July 3rd and then the event on July 4th without notice. We do apologize for that. When we did the testing, we pushed it beyond the limits of what we ever expect to do again. And that was really just our vendor out there calibrating the system for the first time. It doesn't need to happen again, it will not happen again. And then ever since then, once we met with Park Towers, we've been sending someone out twice a day during the daytime hours from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and also at night from 10 p.m. to 9 a.m. validating at three different points along our property line every single day that we're within the limits, that we're not exceeding them. We've also changed the content at nighttime. So during the daytime, the content's a little more energetic, and at nighttime, we've changed it to a more soothing track so that we don't have the bass sounds carrying. We, after meeting with Park Towers again, decided to make that change to our content in order to appease them the best that we could.
Are you with the Sphere?
I am.
Okay.
Rich Constable, I'm Executive Vice President of Sphere. This was alluded to earlier, but I met personally with the Board of Park Towers several weeks ago. And everyone from Sphere has stated it, we made a mistake initially. We should have come before the Board in the first instance, and we should have notified our neighbors in the second instance. I just said to you publicly what I've said to Park Towers privately. We pride ourselves on being good corporate neighbors. In every state where we have venues, we're new to Vegas, we're new to Clark County, and we will be good corporate neighbors. It is not our intention, and we will not play music to disrupt, whether they're in a commercial district or in a residential district, we will not disrupt their quiet enjoyment. They should be able to live free of loud noises. Zach just mentioned it, but every single day for the last 3 weeks, we have sent our sound engineers to the property line to ensure that we do not exceed what is currently permitted, and we will continue to do so. At the meeting where I met with the residents of Park Tower, I gave them my personal information and said, I'm Executive Vice President of the company, I said, call me personally if we ever exceed the noise levels. Call me personally, and I will ensure that it does not happen. With respect to the waiver, there will be instances throughout the year where we need to exceed what is existing. The 4th of July was a community event that we did with Clark County School District, and so we had several students here, and we unveiled their art. There were elected representatives here that were speaking and so on and so forth. So that was the disruption. There will be events like that that we envision going forward, hence the waiver. And I apologize for saying the word handful so that everyone thinks that it's only limited to five. We have no idea. It is what I was trying to demonstrate is it is not a situation where we're going to need it on a daily basis. We have not done a community event since the 4th of July, as an example. But it's intended to be very few and far between. It's also intended to be primarily during the day. If we do something, for example, on New Year's Eve, then obviously we may have something, you know, later at night. But primarily this is intended to be during the day and for short bursts, so it's not 12 hours during the day. All this to say, again, our intention is to be a good corporate neighbor. We will, per staff recommendation, come back and ensure that we are living up to what we need to live up to. But no matter what is decided here, I want to let you know a commitment from the Sphere that we will continue to work and dialogue with our friends at Park Towers, as well as the other residences in the area, to make sure that we don't interrupt their quiet enjoyment. Thank you.
Thank you. Just another minute.
I was just in case you had any questions. I will not add anything else.
Okay, you're good. Because we've turned it over to the board, and I'd like to give each of the members an opportunity to speak. So I'll start down here.
Oh, I have.
Do you have something?
I have so much.
I know. I do too, boy.
You go first.
No, no, I'll let you. Okay. You're longer winded than me. Like,
okay. So number one, it doesn't matter what district they're in. If it's a housing establishment, they matter. I don't care if you put a house in the middle of a manufacturing district. They have a right to not have loud noises happen. Two, I do not like just as exceeds. We need to have a top limit on what that noise is going to be. I don't care if we say it's 90 decibels, but we're not going to sit here and be, it can exceed, because that means you could make a jet engine, and I'm not going to go through that. I don't care if it's outdoors. It's not a good plan. I just have the other thing you're saying, like, this was approved with your ability to have festivals. That is not what was written. That is not what was intended in there. The waiver that approved elimination of that was WS200145. Was approved to eliminate mass and decibel allowances and allow for an increase in potential noise in conjunction with indoor music events. That is specifically written. I understand that there are outdoor events, but the as written is in our notes, it is indoor was the elimination. You are allowed to have outdoor events in conjunction with your indoor, but that does not transfer that waiver over. So that is not strictly true. I understand how you could have read it that way, but that is not strictly true. We need to have a maximum sound level. We need to have notices for neighbors when you're going to have these loud outdoor events. They need to be given well before us. I understand that our time cards don't show up at any sort of reasonable time. We have no control over that. I apologize for that. And then we need to also have time constraints on these events. They need to end at a reasonable hour so people may sleep and that they will not be sleep deprived. We don't need to have this maximum level happening until 2 a.m. We need to end at, you know, midnight, whatever is a reasonable time. I haven't been to a concert in a hot minute. And I'm going to say to the board, perhaps this might be an issue where these need to be special event permits, where they need to come before us and request that maximum decibel level, and that would allow for all of the neighbors to get that notice that there's going to be a special event and just get approval that way. If you're thinking it's only going to be a handful, I understand that, but if you're thinking it's only going to be 20 a year, that's, you just come see us, we're not that mean. Or you can have a list of them and we do them all at once. I have a degree in entertainment engineering and design. I understand how decibels work, and I understand how racketing it can be outside. So we do need to get this under control, and it really upsets me when entertainment upsets other people, because it should be fun. That's for now.
Do you have anything, Angela?
Go away. One of my biggest pet peeves is when neighbors are not good to neighbors. Whether it was not intended, whether it was just a test run or anything like that. I actually used to go and design custom stereo systems and just talk about all the time. You needed to wear headphones, you needed all sorts of stuff just to be near it. And I fully understand what the neighbors are saying. It'd be very annoying, especially if you have any type of sleep issues in the first place. And I'm a big fan of this group. I've been there, love it, love what you guys do, but honestly, there's got to be some sort of limit. You have to be concrete. You have to give us numbers, not just throw something up in the air, because I feel that the neighbors should have a fair shake in this, because they need them. So we can compromise and come up with a decimal level that is just not atrocious, not past a certain time frame. I agree with everything that she has said, because it's whether we're living in a certain area does not mean, you know, check those people that live in certain areas. That's pretty much all.
And can I comment just briefly? I was going to say, in a lot of those points, We had agreed with the neighbors. We didn't agree on everything. I think Mr. Garcia will support when he said we didn't agree on everything. He said we don't agree on anything. So we can't say we conceded. For instance, we agreed with notifying the neighbors within 2 weeks a notice of any event so they would be able to prepare for it. But because we didn't have a global settlement, it was their position that we didn't have an agreement on anything. So I didn't feel it was fair to come up here and say we agree to this and they agree to that. But I would tell you that if we were open to all those things, and between now and September 4th, we would continue to talk to them and try to iron those things out.
If there are concessions you are willing to make, please tell us so that we can include them into our notes of what, if we were to approve this.
I'm authorized, of course, a 14-day notice.
Yeah.
If I can have a moment.
Because any concession you are willing to make, and if we were to approve it, we would write it into record. So if there was a variance or violation of that, we would be able to bring it up.
Okay, so Ms. Cunningham.
Yes.
All right. So here are the concessions that we are more than willing to make. So first, we will provide 14 days notice to Park Towers and any other residential establishments within, let's call it 800 feet radius. That's fair. Okay. So that's one. Two. We will change the hours that where we would ever exceed to 9 a.m. To midnight, okay? Except for New Year's Eve, because it's New Year's Eve, and so on New Year's Eve, we'd like to go to 1 a.m., okay? We will not exceed 87 decimals, okay? That will be the loudest we would ever go. And then as for dates, we would request 18, and so we would never have a 19, okay? So our view, and with everything, I'm gonna keep saying this over and over again, I will personally work with everyone at Park Towers to ensure that we don't do anything to when it comes to body enjoyment. You'll notice that we will never do anything between midnight and 9 a.m. Like, it will be between 65. You're an audio person. That's nothing. Like, right? So, and I know he referenced it, but we changed the soundtrack overnight as well to ensure that there's no bumpy disco-type music. And it's more serene. Again, that's by design. And we will continue, like I'll say this publicly, to work with Park Towers and whomever to ensure. So, with, you know, those are the accommodations and limitations that we are certainly prepared to make.
I just want to make a, did you guys do a study that shows that it's not loud enough? Because I've been to a lot of concerts, and that's loud. I mean, to me, I don't know. That just seems so loud. I mean, was there a study that people could, like your audio guy could clear that up?
For 80 decibels for 3 hours is the maximum decibel level that they recommend in enclosed space.
Yeah. And so, I would say the decibel level is from the property line. It's not, we're not saying that's the decibel level that's acceptable to the Park Towers. That would be at our property line.
Yeah, and it will fade over as it goes. But 80 decibels is what they max recommend indoors. So 87 outside is not as terrible as it is.
Further question.
Okay. There's a benefit to being on this board for almost 20 years, and that's that you remember all the applications that came before you. And before you, my first one was Topgolf, and they're getting approved for their project, and then they added sound. And Blanca and I had to go up to a few of the suites and sit on the balcony with the sound guy from Clark County while we listened to the decibels to see what they were and adjust them. Then Park Towers got involved when the Link decided to have a huge concert, not tell anyone, and blew all of your windows out, and you were all upset about that. And then The link came back wanting an application to continue the events, and we said no. Now, I don't know what happened with the commission after that, but I haven't heard of any events out in the parking lot. I believe they converted all that space to convention space. But it's not our first rodeo in terms of this. In fact, I think the very first thing was the Ice Nightclub, which affected Marie Antoinette. At Marie Antoinette, they actually took a picture of Ms. Blanca here, who works for Commissioner Gibson, and pasted it on the lobby wall and said, if it's too noisy, call her. So if you're willing to do that, and the point I'm trying to make there is that these residential complexes were there way before the strip went wild with new ways to attract people and make noise. So yes, they all understand they're living on a very busy area and there's a lot of people noise and there's music noise, but not to the extent that we are bringing in now. So they have every right to enjoy some quiet in their space where their windows aren't rattling and they know what's going on. I know you didn't tell anyone else, but I remember Jam 5 is here. They're talking all about the noise that was going to come out of the sphere for the 4th of July. So your media people told someone, just not the people who counted, apparently. So the problem I have in the long run is I was here when the sphere came before us to be approved as a project. And I distinctly remember saying, what are you going to have on the outside? I don't want to see any Budweiser ads or any advertising. No, 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 no. This is all going to be artistic. We'll never put ads up on there. And guess what I have been seeing? I saw a Bud Light commercial. I saw a wrestling commercial. I saw everything y'all promised me you weren't going to put up there. Now, I know you have to make money, but that's not the point. The point is you misled this board when we first approved the project in the first place. So now I have to sit here and say, can I trust you now? Can I trust that you're not going to turn up the music too loud and then they have to complain in order to get it taken down? Because that's not what should happen. That you should be abiding by the rules up front and then they don't have to complain. But I don't trust that you won't do that because you didn't do what you promised on what was going to be in the sphere in the first place. I'm concerned about what the purpose of the sound is. You're not allowed to stand out there. You're not allowed to stand around it at all. What is the sound for? Who is it for? The Panique people at Encore? The people at Venetian? Did they request to hear some sound along with your sphere?
If you're asking, I would say, with regards to the past, I'm not aware of the entire history, as you are. You say, you're 20 years, you were at the meeting. Hopefully you remember how I said. I want to point out that staff recommends approval, and you heard Mr. Constable say today and agree voluntarily that he would limit it to 18 days, which is less than 5% of the year. So that,
again, I wish I could trust you guys, but
I understand.
And you're not the first one either. As I say, we have had numerous complaints with Marie Antoinette over everything that got put over there. And we've had other complaints from Park Tower. I don't even hear the complaints. I only hear applications that come before us. But it always brings out neighbors. Those people always show up. It takes a lot to come here for a meeting. This isn't convenient. You got to believe in what is going on to make a stand to come down here. So, you know, they have to be taken into consideration, and I don't want it to be, well, I'm here if they want to complain.
So listen, all valid points. I too was not part of the submission to this fair. I have no idea why anyone from this fair would have told you there would be no ads, because it's part of our revenue model. So I believe you that happened. I'm confused as to why. The things that I've just told you, you can take to the bank. Fox is reporting. We're a publicly traded company, and presumably it will be written up. put exorbitant fines on top of it if you don't believe us. But I'm here as an executive vice president from the company telling you we will abide and adhere to every restriction that I outline. We will. And in addition, I will speak to anyone at Park Towers, from Larry to the board president to any resident that has a complaint in real time. If, and I don't think it'll ever happen, but if somebody goes rogue, they can talk directly to me, and I will give my personal word that it will not happen. Oh, okay, and he said in terms of events. So the event that we had was a perfect type of event that we would have, which is a community event, right? So there we invited students from Clark County, teachers, principals, to see their artwork on the student artwork on mail in the sphere. That's the type of things that will happen. If we do something on the 4th and we're thinking about it, maybe there'd be a fireworks display and we'll invite people on property to see it and it would be accompanied by music. I can't run down the list because we haven't really thought it through in terms of what could potentially happen, and we like having the ability. Like, if we know there's 18 times, there'll never be a 19th. I mean, by the way, it also doesn't mean there'll be 18. It just means it'll be up two. What I was doing a horrible job of trying to explain to the board is I would be surprised if there were more than a handful in the upcoming year, but I don't know what's going to happen in 5 years, right? So that's why we definitely don't want to be hamstrung, because what if there, you know, a monthly community celebration makes sense for Clark County. Like, again, I'm making that up. So less than 5% of the time, that's what 18 is. We're open 365 days. And with the appropriate restrictions of notice and time and decimal levels and so on and so forth, we think that it's the appropriate amount of limitations so that we can operate and give you confidence. And if we are doing a 19th, 20th, and 20th, 21st time, then put whatever restrictions are appropriate so that our hand will slap, that I will give you my word and the company's word that that's not something that we will do.
I just have a quick question. So do you not believe the events you hold and the sound that we are trying to keep the level at, it's not a good success with that kind of sound level? I mean, do you see the sound level that you're asking for making the community involvement such a bigger success? I mean, that's my concern, is that you're using the community involvement things as, and I love community involvement.
Sure.
I'm, you know, that's why we're all here.
Sure.
We're volunteers. But the level that you're asking for, once again, I'll reiterate, you have neighbors, and I know when I have a car down my street, I'm not used to it, I'm in a rural area, and when a car goes down with their subwoofers going like this, my windows shake.
Yeah.
And that's just a car.
Right.
So you're asking for decibels, and obviously they're hearing it, and you tested it. So
right.
You're saying for 18 times in 1 year, these homeowners have to deal with you guys vibrating the windows. I just don't think it's fair to them.
So if I may, if we were doing that, you're 100% correct. That is not what we're doing. Well, when we tested it on the 3rd and the 4th, we tested it well in excess of the 87 dBs that we're now requesting. Well in excess, okay? And we're not proud of it. We apologize for that. We were in the wrong. But
what
I'm
was
telling
it?
You,
what was that level?
It was in the 90s. It was well in excess. Okay.
So not far from what you're...
No.
I mean, is it way, when you say way?
The sound is very logarithmic going up. 1 decibel is incredibly noticeable. So going from 87 to 90 is well
right.
In excess.
Yes. So they were right. If I lived at Park Towers, I would have complained. Okay? They were right to complain because it was well in excess. What we're talking about at 87 is not well in excess. Is it a little louder? I mean, we have a sound engineer that can really explain. I think Ms. Cunningham could truly explain. But of course, it's a little louder, right? But it is not windows rattling loud, which is where it was. So that's why I interrupted you. 87, which is what we're asking for, is just a little loud, not out of control loud. Arguably, it was more than it should have been.
Don't get me wrong,
it would
be difficult for some people to sleep with that sound between 8 p.m. to midnight, but
if you're
this is the way it should not be impossible. I do not say without fail, but I am just saying that it should be possible. But that is why I want to limit the number of events and give 14-day notice so that people can address what they need to address.
But if the events you are having are in that area right outside the sphere, like where the F1 race was, you had all the benches out there. That's, I'm assuming, the area they're going to use for the event. When you had the kids out, they were all out there. That, why does it have to be so loud that close to them? Why wouldn't you just use a normal?
I'm going to make an obvious statement. When there's more people in an area, you need more sound to reach all the people in the area.
So what's an average concert sound?
So you know, Premier Day, we regularly were in excess of 85 decibels, and that is for just a small open field with a couple thousand students. So not even a couple thousand, you're supposed to be on a snow coaster for Premier Day. But it is not an unreasonable sound. Most concerts I know are regularly in excess of 90 to 95 decibels. That's just what modern concerts are. So 87 is below what most modern concerts host. Taylor Swift's concerts are far in excess of 87, just for reference. That's just how sound works. Not that I'm advocating for anyone, but that's just how sound works. And it's true, the more people you have, the more difficult it's here. As you can tell, our sound system's not used to having so many people in our audience, so we had to turn it up a little bit. It is true, but that being said, it would be better for the people on the ground, but when there's no people in the air, the sound system will carry a little bit further, but the people on the ground will need it to be louder.
Anyone have anything else? Would you like to make the motion for your item?
Yeah, because we've gone a little bit past the content of the day. All right, so we will make a motion to approve, subject to the following conditions: a one-year review, that there will be 14 days notice provided to all residences within 800 feet of the sphere, that the hours of the excessive limit will be limited to between 9 a.m. to midnight, with the exception of New Year's, waking at 1 a.m. It will not exceed a maximum decibel level of 87, and these exceptions will only be applicable for 18 days.
Can I add just one thing?
Yes.
The measurement, the enforcement will ask. Yeah. Measurement will be taken at the property.
Measurement, yeah. Yeah, the 87 decibels to be taken at the property line, along the entirety of the property line, for around the entire thing. Do you have that one?
Say that again.
Okay.
Property line.
So,
no, I got them all except for this.
So
just
the maximum decibel level of 87 is to be taken at the property line of the sphere.
Thank you. Man, I'm pretty impressed with myself. I got this.
I tried to be slow when you said that.
You did.
That everything?
Along with the other limited staff conditions.
We have a motion on the floor to approve this item subject to preliminary staff conditions along with the additional conditions as listed. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye.
3-1?
3-1.
Susan opposed.
Yes.
Okay. Thank
you. Very much.
You go on to BCC on 9-4. So those neighbors that are here, you have another chance at Board of County Commissioners on September the 4th. Okay, item number 7, ZC-240349, County of Clark Aviation, a zone change to reclassify 3.76 acres from an RS-5.2 residential single-family R.2 zone to a PF public facility zone within the airport environs, AE-60 and AE-65, and Maryland Parkway overlays, generally located on the east side of University Center Drive and the north side of Hacienda Avenue within Paradise.
Do you want to read them all together? They're all together.
They're all different addresses, though. They're all over the place, so I didn't want to.
I'll just start from the beginning. My name is Tony Carthy. I'm with the Department of Aviation, and we are.
Hang on, wait a second.
Let's get everybody out.
Can you guys step outside, please? Thank you.
I wonder if I can get your name again. I'm sorry.
Oh, Tony Perkins, the Department of Aviation, Park County. We are requesting zone changes to PF for several different developments. This would match airport zoning, and no plans are included at this time.
Okay. Anyone here to speak about the first application, which is on east side of University Center and north side of Hacienda Avenue?
Patrick Green, 5243 Sierra Luna Circle, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89119. Really up here to understand what is being built for this. I live in that development area, so what is the intent? What are they trying to build? My understanding is Swenson, Tropicana, Maryland Parkway are all been torn down and with the intention of expanding university for excess traffic coming out of the airport.
Well, what he was just saying is all they're doing is changing the zoning, not they don't have any plans for building right now.
Okay.
So it's going to go from a residential zone to a public facility zone. That's all we're just going over tonight.
Okay.
So no idea what's there. Are you with the 5242 that didn't get torn down?
No.
Okay.
Now I'm on the next block.
The next
over,
block
but
over.
As we're approaching into the neighborhood, what is the future from the Department of Aviation for that development, or for the houses that are left in back in 2008 timeframe? The airport was to buy all the land for more runways and expansion. So if we're making a zone change to that landscape, for lack of a better analogy, what is the path forward? What is the intent? That's what I'm trying to understand.
Okay. And you don't have plans yet?
No, I can speak up to a little more background, though, if that would help. Thank you. So we're on 0349, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the four. Okay. So right here, they are currently essentially landscape buffers for the increased traffic along University Center for the residential neighborhood to the east. And the intent is to keep them landscape buffers. They may be enhanced with landscaping, but they intend to keep them landscape buffers.
Okay. Do you mind if I interrupt for a second? So you're referring to this yellow area,
yes.
Correct? So my house is located right in this area. So is it just landscape that you're putting here?
Yes.
If all those houses were torn down, so now
it's
area?
No, it's chunky rock. Yeah. It's possible we could adjust that landscaping, but it would just be landscaping.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on?
I just have a question.
You got to give your name and address.
Sherry Leyva, Michelle Leyva, I'm at 823 Dumet Drive, which I'm 823. 813 Dumet is torn down, so I'm literally the next house in. I've wondered for a long time. I dealt with the teardowns, all of it, right next door, next door neighbor. So when you talk about complaining neighbors and all that stuff, I put up with the traffic that comes through my corner right there. I can't let my children outside and ride a bicycle. It can't happen, ever. The whole time we've lived there. My choice, 100%. There was a house there before. We've wondered what is happening with this for the 20 years that I've lived in that house. The process of the teardown, I am not a complainer. Like, I go along and get along. I want everybody, you know, I walk my dog around that area every morning. I know Liberace Mansion and all the stuff over there. I wash the tear down, the rats, all of this stuff, the human feces and urine that I have to put up with on the street from the lift drivers. I don't know how it's like. It's has not been fun, and the airport has not been my wall that's on the next. I'm the wall. I share the wall. So the landscaping, I'd love to look better over there. Let's clean up the trash if you want to look better. Who's responsible for that? It is just, you know, that's really all I have to say is if you really consider what the neighbors have to put up with and complaints, this is a big one. And I've directly asked the airport what the plans are. They don't tell you anything. That's fine. I don't care. The monorail on that side of the road, I dealt with that idea. That would be literally above my house. I don't know what the sound decibels are for all of that. I do want to know what they're doing. Landscaping, great. Homeless can't camp there because they have big rocks. Thank goodness, but, you know, they're still there. And they have, there's things that you have to deal with that I understand, but let's do be good neighbors. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does anyone else would like to speak? Seeing no one, I'll close it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't see you there.
My name is Brent Long. Hello? Mm-hmm. 1, 2. Does that work?
No, it was on a second ago.
That work?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
There you are.
There we go. I'm Brent Larson. I worked at 4305 East Harmon. I'm mostly here for the next item, but what I have to say on this, I think is relevant because I'm an attorney and I've dealt with public response office. And as I hear these complaints, I'm asking if that land was owned by a private owner, would the public response office be after them to clean it up? And my experience is yes, but when it's owned by the county, it gets ignored. The next item is going to have the same issues with the county not taking care of business like they should be doing. But I would ask, why isn't the county cleaning that up? Just like you would require the private owner to do it.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to close to the public, open it to the board. As I said, the only thing before us right now is the zone change, to change it from residential to public facility, but I know Blanc has been taking notes about your public works issues. She's writing that stuff down. That all goes to public works, and trust me, she's really good at getting them out there. Okay, anybody have a comment or question? Can I ask, you got two holdouts out there, 5090 and 5242. What is going to happen with those? Do you know?
I apologize, I don't
know. Okay. All right. Just curious. All right. If no one else has anything, I make a motion to approve, subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And that's 9-4 Board of County Commissioners. Item number 8 is ZC240350, County of Clark Aviation, a zone change to reclassify 7.97 acres from a CR commercial resort zone to a PF public facility zone within the airport environs, AE60 and AD65 overlay, generally located on the northwest corner of Four Seasons Drive and Haven Street within Paradise. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Tony Perkins, Department of Aviation. I'm here for this one as well, just to address some of the concerns. Gentlemen, we do have a property management line that complaints can be made to, and if there is trash and debris that are on DOA property, you can call that line direct, and we will send out our property monitors to go out there to clean it up.
Do you have that number handy?
I can give my direct line though, and
okay.
Once I'm in the office, if anybody calls me, I'll be happy to give that number out. 702-261-5024. That's my line, and then I will hand out or give out the property management number.
Okay. All right. Is anyone would like to speak on this item, sir?
I'll put up the map to.
Sure.
Should I introduce myself just in case?
Yes, please. Your name and address.
My name is Alberto Jauregui. My address is 3505 East Harmon, Suite B, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89121.
Thank you.
As I said, I'm Brett Larson. I'm an attorney, and I represent Eden LLC. And if we can put up our photos here.
Yeah, if you want to set that one on the easel. There we go.
So what this photo shows is the area outlined in green is my client's property. That's a 128-unit apartment complex. My mother is holding this too here. The adjacent property outlined in orange is the county property. And so the orange area is what they want to rezone. We are not opposed to the mere rezoning classification, but we would like you to put some restrictions on it and to go over some history with this. The area in orange was bought by the county in, I believe, July of 2023. Prior to that, we were dealing with the owner who leased this orange property out to contractors. They used it as a storage construction yard in what was then an H1 zone. In other words, it was clearly a non-conforming use. We complained. This picture is an example of what the property was like that we had to deal with. We went through public response. I personally, with Alberto, went over there to the office, find out that somehow the complaint got dismissed and we had to refile. We met with people, but the problem never went away. Interestingly enough, we have pictures here of what the property looked like just a week ago. Now, today, one area where all the storage of gravel pits, now they're all cleaned up. But what troubles us is when you look at the application in 2023, in August of 2023, my client never did. The county says they send out notice to my clients of the use permit, the application for a use permit to use the property as a construction yard in a non-conforming zone. My clients would say they never saw notice. We have a property manager there every day. We never saw any signs posted on the property about an application for a use permit. We have emails from the tenants who complain about the construction activities. We just heard a lot about noise at night. The tenant of these properties, as you can see from this photo, these are all trailers, 18-wheelers, and they load them and unload them at night. When you hear the trucks pull up to them to load up, they make all kinds of noise and racket. 128 residents here are being adversely affected by what's going on. We have complained to the county, but the complaints never go away. Then the county buys the property in 2023, and then the memo, just excuse me for a moment. The memo from Comprehensive Planning says, and this is dated August 10th, 2023, it says they'll cease operation of the temporary construction yard in 12 months, which we're now 12 months later. Page 2 of that memo talks about, it says these temporary activities were created as part of the F1 Grand Prix race. That is untrue. This was a problem long before the Formula One race was even thought about. As I said, my clients had this property since January of 2021, and it's been a constant problem. In the past, we've been fighting with the former owners. When the county bought it, we thought maybe we would see some relief. But they say it'll only be temporary for for the next 12 months. Now we look at the current application, and it says that the county's lease has expired with the tenant, and that the use permit is now expired.
And the lease,
right. But then it goes on to say, this is a zone change request to PF zoning with no plan submitted. It says the site is 7.97 acres. And then it goes on to explain that the current user has not yet submitted their use permit. In other words, why are we talking with the county about a new use permit? It hasn't been filed yet. This thing is now going to proceed with the zone change, and the zone change itself doesn't give us any heartburn. What does give us heartburn is this notion that they have a tenant there. Now, this area, all the debris, all the big, where was that picture with all the, and have you seen these pictures that were there a week ago?
Yeah.
All of these piles of refuge and building materials and things, they're all gone, but the trailers are still there. It's still used as a temporary construction yard. And then there's talk in the justification for this zone permit, they're still talking about the current tenant operation is going to have to come back for a use permit, and the county has apparently given them their blessing to do it. So none of this makes any sense to us. The question I asked before, if this wasn't a Clark County agency, would they be given this kind of liberality in doing the use of the property like they are? Would a private owner be able to get away with these sorts of things? We don't think so. We don't think that we're being treated with equality. I said, as a lawyer, there's a case I often like to cite in court where the Supreme Court said, in reference to what a district court judge did, said courts are as bound by statutes as are the parties. And then I would say the county is just as bound by its own ordinances as are the citizens of this county. So that we would ask you to approve this zone change, but on the condition that this industrial use, a non-conforming use of the property, that it immediately be terminated and the property cleaned up so that what is properly used as a residential area can be enjoyed as a residential area and not have noise and sound, smells and all of the sights, things disturbing them. By the way, these trailers also are a big attractive nuisance to homeless people where they like to hang out. It's a continuing headache, and we'd like to see it stop. Thank you.
So anyone else would like to speak on this one? Seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing to the board. Yeah, do you want to explain to us what you know is going on there?
A little bit, yeah. A little bit more. First off, we have valid concerns, and we apologize for the inconveniences. Phone calls to our property management group changes this a little bit, but it's my understanding that the use as it exists today is not intended to go on indefinitely. I don't have a time frame with it right now, I've not set yet, but it's not intended to have that use indefinitely. The tenants, we did inherit the lease when we purchased the property. The tenants will be coming forward soon with a use permit request, and then at that time, there will be time to discuss, again, what the concerns were and what additional conditions will be placed on that forthcoming use permit request.
Well, I have a question. Does the county have a monetary interest in renewing these leases to get more rents coming like they have, and then thereby continuing with this non-conforming use?
the best answer I can give is that this is not intended to be an indefinite use. It's not intended to be a permanent use.
But I don't know what that means.
I think the best thing for you to do, because even if we make the recommendation that you're requesting and putting a condition on terminating the non-conforming use, we're just a recommending board. So the Board of County Commissioners would have to make that final decision.
Yeah,
your best bet, Commissioner Gibson, this is in his area. Waka works for Commissioner Gibson, to talk to her and find out what the status is on the current use permit and when, you know, what can be done about going forward with a new use permit if they apply for it. Because we can't do anything on that till we see it. But I think that would at least get you moving forward on something, because, you know, as I say, we can agree and make a recommendation about that condition, but that doesn't mean that it goes forward with that.
Right. We would still like your recommendation.
Okay.
But it does say that they're still planning on going forward with the new use permit application.
Well, unfortunately, in what they provided to us, we don't have any of that backup that you're referring to. There's nothing in here about a use permit. There's nothing here about the fact that it was once a construction site or that it's currently being used for storage of materials. It said that back in 2019, there was a fabric tent structure on there, and that's it. This the same one?
So I have two. You're on the next one.
Oh, yeah. Wonder.
I'm
on the wrong one. Sorry. This one said four seasons as well, so I picked up the wrong one.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is here. I apologize.
If I could answer that, on the first page of the letter for justification,
we found it.
I was on the wrong.
She was on 51, not 50.
Item number 9 is also on four seasons. That's where I got confused.
So a little roundabout.
Yeah.
What do you think? Technically by it expiring is ending that, it's terminating that use, and they, in all technicality, need to remove whatever is there that is not permitted. So if when they're saying the special use permit ends in August, that means by, you know, probably mid-September, realistically looking at the number of those trailers, that needs to be gone. Because if it's not permitted, then it needs to be gone while it's there. They would have to get their updated special use permit to us and through the Board of County Commissioners before the end of August.
Well, they have to get an application.
Yeah, they have to get an application before the end of August for it to continue to exist there.
Well, if I may, that also assumes the county's going to renew their lease. Why would the county be renewing their lease in anticipation of this?
It's month to month, just to clarify that.
Yeah, and we as a board cannot tell the county that they are not allowed to lease to certain people. Just as government, that we can't tell the government they can't lease to certain people for, you know, that's the long, dark road to walk down. So whether or not they're renewing, in your perception of them, in anticipation of this use permit or not, they could renew it, and then that use permit could come up before the board, and we could say nah, and then that tenant it has the lease there but can't do what they want to do there. We can recommend that. Well, I mean, I don't even know if we can justify recommending them not continuing the lease.
I would think if you want to put a stipulation on it, couldn't you just say, he's saying it's not within the use permit they have now, the storage that's on there, or is the use permit?
The use permit is expiring.
Right. So what he wants is a recommendation.
To not renew it.
To know that the non-conforming use is terminated.
I would just say one thing with the public word, like, just my opinion is if they're not good neighbors and they're not going to keep the property clean, is owned by the city. I would think it would not be one that we'd want to, but like they were saying, until it comes in front of us, you can't. We can't do anything until we hear the applicant in front of us to deny them their permit for the use. Well, so right now they're only asking for one thing. So I can agree all day, but I can't know what the applicant's even going to put it. They might come in with something different for that property and they agree. So at this time, the only thing we can do is put in a motion.
Well, I guess we could say no non-conforming uses, but that doesn't mean when BCC gets it, they're going to accept that recommendation.
Yeah. I understand. But it's your recommendation.
But at least we're putting our thoughts in there.
Has some weight to it. That's our point.
Okay.
And that's why we're here.
Yeah.
I understand. We just want to make it very clear that we can say that, and then they can still come through with a special use, and that could technically override.
At a later date.
That could override us saying we don't want non-conforming, and they're going to, well, the point of the special use is that we're getting permission for the non-conforming.
We know all that.
Okay, I just want to be clear because I don't want you to think we do this non-conforming, and then that means that special use permit can't happen. It just...
We understand that they can still apply and we can still oppose it.
Yes. Right.
But for what we can do today, we're merely asking that you recommend that no continuing non-conforming use go forward as a condition of this zone change.
Okay, so I will make a motion to approve this item with the condition that any non-conforming use is terminated. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Good luck. I would suggest meeting Blanca, since she does work directly for the commissioner, and so he can hear what you have to say before it gets to their level. Okay, number 9, which I confused with number 8, ZC240351, County of Clark Aviation Zone Change to reclassify 0.67 acres from a CR Commercial Resort Zone to a PF Public Facility Zone within the airport environs AE60 overlay, generally located on the east side of Las Vegas Boulevard South, 100 feet south of Four Seasons Drive, within Paradise.
Okay, Tony Perkins, Department of Aviation. I'm here on this property as well, requesting a zone change to PF. No plans included. And there's no plans currently.
Okay.
Looking through my notes here.
Anyone from the public wants to speak on this item?
See if no one. Okay.
See, no one will close it to the public, open it to the board. I know.
If my board doesn't have any objections, I'll make a movement to with staff recommendations to approve.
We have a motion on the floor to approve this application subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Item number 10. ZC240352, County of Clark Aviation, a zone change to reclassify 1.22 acres from a CR Commercial Resort Zone to a PF Public Facility Zone within the airport environs AE70 and AE75 overlay, generally located on the west side of Las Vegas Boulevard South, 850 feet north of Sunset Road within Paradise.
Okay, Tony Perkins, Department of Aviation. We're requesting a zone change to PF, which would match airport zoning. No plans on this, and confirmation, we will be leaving it vacant. It does include the RPZ in there, which is a very restrictive category, and the plan is to leave that vacant.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak on this item? See, no one will close it to the public, open it to the board.
Madam Chair, if you have comments, questions, or concerns, I make a motion to approve the staff conditions.
We have a motion on the floor to approve this item subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. That's it for planning and zoning. General business, do we have anything? Comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to this board's jurisdiction will be held. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Would you like to make a comment?
I would.
If you give us your name and address.
Patrick Green, 5243 Sierra Lee Circle.
Okay.
Las Vegas, Nevada, 89119. This will be for you. I have complained about my street light for 2 years probably. It's not missing copper. It hasn't been stolen. It just went out the bulb. And I just would like to change. Thank you.
That's an easy one. All right, if there's no one else, I will close it. The public comment period, and our next meeting date is August 27th. I will be absent. Motion to adjourn.